want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, everybody. This is indeed Dave Hodges, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that is free America, one enslaved mind at a time. And there are some people that want to keep your minds enslaved tonight because the gremlins are out, and you know what I mean by the gremlins. All you nice folks at the NSA, say happy Mother's Day to your mom. Do you think they're proud of the work that you do? Anyway, that being said, I want to talk about who sponsors us in this hour. And you heard Get the Tea, and I didn't get ads that second hour because of all our communication issues. So let's talk about my friend Bob Kudla. This guy is an investment genius. He's a guy who you really need on your side during tough times that we're going through. And he's actually teaching you. Not just investing for you, but teaching you how to do what he does so you no longer need him. Excuse me. Go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com. TradeGeniusAcademy.com. And our listeners are getting 50% off. That's right. Mention the Common Sense Show and Dave Hodges. 50% off. TradeGenius.com for Bob Kudla. You've heard on this show a number of times, and he will teach you to do exactly what he does. Also, you know, in the coming tough times, you might need food, water, gold, guns, ammo, and medicine. We can help you with food. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the coupon code for 5% off, Hodges NOV5. And I'm telling you, if you don't have storable food and water and medicine, with what's going on with the cyber hacking, you may want to think about getting into it very quickly. And again, Bob Griswold, the king, I think, of survivalists, has the best stuff on the planet. He's got a great deal for you. He's selling night vision, and you've heard him say it on this show. If the other guy has night vision in a conflict situation, you don't, you're going to lose. And he's offering an enticement to get people to look closer at vision, and that's a handheld shortwave radio. It's the Bofang BF-58HP. It's the most powerful one available. It's a two-way radio. And the product code is BF-FAHP. And I'll say that again, BF-FAHP. And you can go to readymaderesources.com and look up that code, BF-FAHP. And you'll find his information there at Ready Made Resources. And his number is prominently displayed. You can call him. He's there tonight. You can call him right after the show. And use the coupon code Hodges, just my name, or the Common Sense Show. And he's going to send you that radio for free with any order of night vision. I tell you, it's, if you really think you could be in a conflict situation, you could think civil chaos could be coming to America, if you think we're going to have economic chaos in this country, night vision is indispensable, and so is communication. But anyway, we have a great guest lined up for you. And she's the first time on the show. And she's been on our, a friend's show, Doug and Joe Hagman, who we have on regularly here. And her name is Liz Croken, and she is a terrific journalist. And she tackles topics that get people taken off the air. And I mean literally taken down in the middle of the show. So if that happens, be patient with us because we will reestablish connections. I mean, we had the one interview with Ammon Bundy's, you know, they took down satellites and everything else connected to the network, but that's the only time that's happened, so we will do our best if that happens. Liz is an accomplished journalist, and she's written for many, many people and done many, many things. Presently, she is with Daily Caller, and she has a lot of courage because this is a very dangerous topic that she writes about. People have died, the Nancy Schaefers of the world, the late Georgia state senator, who her and her husband were murdered to cover up her reporting on CPS and their role in child sex trafficking. And you know we've had trouble with guests on this show, both from a safety standpoint and also from a connection standpoint. So it is with great admiration that I bring for the first time to the Common Sense Show, Liz Croken. Liz, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Dave. Thanks so much for having me.
Boy, there was that hesitation for a second. My heart jumped a beat. I thought, uh-oh, here we go. But anyway, you're
no,
here.
Trust
it's
me.
Good. You sound,
yeah, right.
You sound great. I'm curious, Liz, of all and I've done a little background checking on you, and you are a terrific writer. You're really gifted. And why you would choose a topic that would be so dangerous to not only your career, but to you personally. What motivates you to do this work?
So I'm the victim of a sex crime. In 2012, I was dating a man who committed a sex crime against me. He committed multiple sexual assaults against me, but one of the sexual assaults he committed against me led to me getting STDs, which the main STD he transmitted to me was herpes 2. He lied about it to me and all my doctors. It spread to meningitis, and then it spread to meningoencephalitis, and that almost killed me. I literally lost my health, my ability to work. I had brain damage so bad from the disease that I could not read or write. And as you can imagine, as a journalist and an editor, that's extremely problematic. So I lost my livelihood, my ability to work for a while. I went on disability, food stamps. I went from making six figures to welfare, and having my parents, take care of me, my 30s. So it was completely devastating to me. And, as you can imagine, completely changed my entire life. I have been pursuing criminal and civil charges against him for 5 years now, and I actually just went to court, spoke for the first time at a pretrial hearing against him for my civil case last week. But I've been fighting this fight in my personal life, like I said, almost 5 years. And along the way, I've become really involved helping sex crime victims, and other sex crime victims have really helped me. They've given me so much support. And I've learned a lot about sexual assault, sex crimes, and, rape, sex trafficking, child abuse, child molestation, all those kinds of things. What really got me into the journalistic side of sex trafficking and covering this topic were the Podesta emails. I knew that sex trafficking was an issue, but before the Podesta emails, I had no idea how rampant it was, and I had no idea how rampant it was in every big, powerful corporation we have in the world, whether it be government, Hollywood, entertainment, the music industry, the banking industry, the church, Scientology. Sex trafficking is rampant in all of these circles, and unlike what the media wants you to believe, sometimes the biggest and the worst pedophiles, and when I say worst, I mean the where sex trafficking is the most rampant is not in trailer parks. It is at the top. It is with the richest people in the world, the most powerful people in the world, and with, and it's in the most elite circles in the world. So after I read the Podesta emails, I started doing a ton of research about sex trafficking and how it ties to our government and how it ties to politicians and how it ties to fraud charities like the Clinton Foundation. And I started getting, really heavily involved in researching it. And then I started writing about it. And when I started writing about it and started getting really vocal about it, my professional life, and I started facing all these repercussions for reporting this and being vocal about it, it just made me realize even more how serious this is and how real it is. And there are some extremely powerful forces out there trying to shut people like you and I down. So that's kind of the short of the long of it.
Yeah, that's it kind of similar. A lot of us end up in this business, just reporting against globalist initiatives and their evil, because we've been stung by them. For me and my audience has heard me talk about this, It took John McCain and his merry band of bankers to try and steal my home and 300 of my neighbors so they could put a Canamex international corridor in through the Central American Free Trade Agreement and not pay us. In other words, no eminent domain, right. Just out. And that's how I got active. That's how I got my first radio show, because I kept appearing. And this gentleman out of Wickenburg, Arizona said, I think you ought to have your own show, Dave. And I got started that way, and kind of like you. I mean, you have a lot of people are victims who get into this because we see that things have to change, you know, for the good of our country, the good of our next generation. And I really admire that. Let me ask you a real direct question here. How dirty is the Clinton Foundation with regard to child sex trafficking?
Well, I would say, let me just start off by saying this. The Clintons are as dirty as it gets in terms of corruption. And that includes, you know, all kinds of corruption. Sex trafficking is just part of it. But I've been studying the Clintons for decades, you know, before I got involved with sex trafficking stuff. I've been covering the Clintons since I was in college, which was, you know, 20 years ago. And I've been following all of their scandals. And they basically, I mean, they're as dirty as it gets. There's so many dead bodies, you know, in their wake. And they've been involved in all kinds of corruption, you know, starting with, like, money fraud, drug trafficking. I did a huge story with the Observer before the election talking about Hillary Clinton's campaign was involved in this fraud scheme where she was illegally charging her poorest donors. Like, she was illegally overcharging her poorest donors by overcharging their credit card. And I had multiple sources from multiple different banks confirm this. And, I mean, this was a huge story. The Clinton campaign, to the state, has never denied it. It went viral. It got over a million hits, and a ton of people shared it. Of course, the mainstream media ignored it. I mean, could you imagine if the story was about Trump, it would have been everywhere. But the Clintons are as dirty as it gets in terms of all kinds of corruption. In terms of sex trafficking, I think the biggest evidence pointing that the Clintons are involved in sex trafficking probably start with Jeffrey Epstein. And for those that don't know who Jeffrey Epstein is the billionaire who is good friends with the Clintons, who owns an island in the Caribbean where he traffics children. And this is not a conspiracy theory. This man has been convicted of raping kids, so he's a convicted pedophile. Now, he brings children to his island as sex slaves, and he has people like the Clintons and other powerful people around the world, whether it be, you know, businessmen or politicians or members of the royal family. They come to his island, and they have access to these children where they could do whatever they want sexually with these kids. Bill Clinton, we know, has been to this island 25 times, and this is public record. This is due to flight logs that were kept by the Secret Service. Hillary Clinton has been there on record 5 or 6 times, okay? Think about this. This man's a convicted pedophile. This is public record. There's been civil suit after civil suit after civil suit that has been filed and settled by him, by children who most of them are older now, but people who were raped by him as kids, okay? So it's not like some secret, or it's not some, you know, conspiracy theory that they're hanging out with the pedophile. It's a fact. It's a provable fact. And he also has been criminally convicted, you know, for his sexual adventures with minors, but he got off easy because the whole judicial system is rigged and seems to favor the pedophiles over the victims. But I would start with Jeffrey Epstein and the Clintons' ties to him. And then I would start looking at the Clintons' ties to Haiti. And the Clintons, you know, they were the ones that set up the fund after the earthquake, the Haiti Relief Fund. And if you meet any person from Haiti, they all hate the Clintons. They were supposed to build thousands and thousands of houses, and they were supposed to, you know, rebuild their whole country. And what they ended up doing is they ended up raising all this money, and they gave, I think they used like 3% of the money they raised for actually building houses and for Haiti. and they use the rest of the money to pay themselves. But to tie this into sex trafficking, one of their associates, her name is Laura Silsby, she was busted and charged and convicted with trying to kidnap 33 children from Haiti, okay? And she said that she was, these kids were orphans, and that these kids she was taking to bring them to some orphanage that she had. Well, it turns out that she didn't have an orphanage, and it also turned out that these kids weren't orphans. They had parents, okay? Now, who ended up going to save this woman who was attempting to traffic children from Haiti? It was none other than Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton went there, and he got her off. And now this woman works for AlertSense, which is the company in Washington, D.C. that works with Amber Alert. So she is free in the United States, thanks to the Clintons, and she's in the business of trying to find missing children. So that's where I think that's where people that are interested in the Clintons and their involvement in sex trafficking, I think that those are the two biggest pieces of the puzzle that people need to look at, and they need to look at really hard.
That is an amazing story. I know a little bit about the Haiti story because you're right. If I remember correctly, I did a story on this. I think the amount they absconded with was $2 billion. I have seen YouTube videos of people from Haiti that tell these same stories. So you're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
Their name is Mud in Haiti. Well, how are they not brought up on charges just for the embezzlement of this money, let alone the sex crimes that they perpetrate?
Let me just say this one thing for your listeners. If you're interested in this and you want to see with your own eyes that this is real and that this really happened, when Google Laura Silsby, but also Google Laura Gaylor, because, and I want to warn people, this is common with people who have been convicted of trafficking children. In terms of the ones that have been busted, they change their name, and they change their name so they're harder to track down, they're harder to find, so they can continue to operate within, you know, the public domain without raising too many eyebrows. Laura Silsby,
how do you spell that last name? Laura Gaylor.
So, okay, her name now is Laura Gaylor, okay? So
Gaylor.
I believe it's
G-A-Y-L-O-R?
G-A-Y-L-O-R or E-R.
Okay.
But she works,
all right.
You could find her on the AlertSense website with her picture. She is the same woman as Laura Silsby. So, and again, I can't emphasize this enough. Often people who are convicted of raping kids, sex trafficking kids, molesting kids, you name it, that is Rapist 101. They changed their name. And that's what she did. You know, there's some people out there, oh, she got married, blah, blah, blah. No, like, this is what they do. They change their name so they're harder to track down. So people that are interested in this, you can Google Laura Silsby and Laura Gaylor. You can see that it's the same person. Google Bill Clinton, Google Hillary Clinton, and you can see that he went to Haiti and that he bailed her out. He bailed her out. So anyways, I'm sorry. What was your next question? I just wanted to make that point because I don't want people to Google her and be like, she's not working.
Yeah, I you got what I wanted because I wanted to make sure, because the listening audience will go do research because I'll hear from them. And I wanted to make sure they had that secondary name because that's the name they'll find her under and they're one and the same person. And I'm going to take a peek at that too. I did not know about that name change. And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Well, let's compare notes for a second here, and then I'm going to just let you just run with this. We're pretty well versed in what's going on with Pedogate, and as it's called, I don't really like the name, but, you know, and how it's rolling up on senior Obama officials from the past. Either they've obstructed justice or they were probably participants, all to John Podesta. And now I'd like to go back in to the Sandusky thing. What I've looked at, Liz, is, well, first of all, I'm sure you know about Ray Greicar. He was the attorney, district attorney for Center County, who was murdered. They never found the body. He disappeared, declared dead 5 years later, and he was looking into Sandusky. And that's okay. Pretty clear that's what happened. And as I was researching the Sandusky thing when this thing was unfolding, I kept telling my colleagues, this reaches really high. I just reached dead ends on the evidence. I think it reaches into Congress. I know it reaches, I think, into the Pennsylvania governor's office, and it reaches into Penn State administration. I was right about that because the Penn State president went to prison for what he did with children. So what do you know about the connection between Pedogate and Penn State? Are these issues related? Do they have a single tentacle that they connect to?
Well, they do. So let me start by saying this. And this is another thing that people need to understand. And I didn't understand this for a really long time. And yeah, I'm still learning. But all these things are connected. You know, when the whole Jerry Sandusky issue went down and he was perp walked and he was arrested for, you know, abusing all these boys, I thought it was an isolated incident. You know, and I think when it first started coming out that there were priests molesting kids, people thought initially this was just an one bad priest. And then we learned with the Catholic Church, no, this is rampant. This is a full-blown operation within the Catholic Church. That's what's going on in all of these businesses where the elites work and they travel and you know, they have fun. I mean, and all of these elite circles, whether it's the universities, it's Hollywood, it's the media, it's government, and then, you know, where they hang out in terms of, like, the, you know, events like the Super Bowl and the Olympics and these elitist events and parties, everything is connected. So, for example, so in terms of Jerry Sandusky, what has happened since Jerry Sandusky has been thrown in prison? His, like you said, the president of the university went down too. His son, correct me if I'm wrong, but his son recently went to prison. And,
yes.
Okay. And I studied that case and I read the depositions and they were horrible. What happened with that case is that there were actually some people that saw Jerry Sandusky raping these boys at the university. And there were people that reported these crimes and they reported these incidents and they were ignored. Okay? People at the school knew, including Joe Paterno, that this was going on. And they did nothing. Okay? So that tells us that A, they are either participating in the pedophilia or they're complicit in the pedophilia. Okay? And the reason that this relates to Pedogate is that these aren't isolated incidences. This is a whole operation of elite people that literally scratch each other's back. They're pedophiles and they cover for each other. That's why they are able to do this and to get away with it for so long. And there are so many instances where people say something or they know something's not right and they try to draw attention to it and they're shut down. And I know this as a journalist from my own experience. I was just fired and censored, I firmly believe, from Town Hall because of my work exposing sex trafficking. So there are extremely powerful people in, you know, all of these circles, whether it be entertainment, Washington, D.C., the media, that are shutting down voices, that are shedding light on this topic. And, you know, people need to know that a lot of these incidences where there's pedophiles, you know, that have these elitist jobs, these are not isolated incidences. And the reasons why these people have gotten away with this for so long, you know, is because they're protected. Look at Bill Cosby. Look at Dennis Hastert. Look at the frickin' Subway guy like Jared, you know, who, by the way, and a lot of these people associate with people in government, and I believe Jared was at the White House multiple times, and there's connections and there's links between all of these people. You know, it is rampant.
It's rampant beyond anything I would ever have believed, Liz. when I started looking at this, and I used to have a news director, and this goes back maybe 8 years, and I told her, I said, Annie, we really need to look into this more. We got to expose this. And I thought it was a simple matter of exposure, but what I found, Liz, it's layer after layer after layer. It seemingly is a bottomless pit, and it goes as wide as it goes deep. Does it involve every nation, every nation's leaders, in your opinion?
Yes, it does. And that's another thing about pedogate and sex trafficking, is that the sex trafficking operates, the sex trafficking business operates without borders, okay? And these children are trafficked in and out of countries, and they manage to operate without borders. I mean, we have instances of children from that are from certain countries or speak a certain language, and you know, you'll have like kids, for example, from Haiti, like popping up like in England, like in, you know, like close to some castle, you know, where like elites hang out, and people are like, what the heck, like how did this kid get here, like, you know what I mean? So these kids end up in places where they shouldn't be, and you know there's huge money behind it, because they have to be traveling in private jets most of the time. Now, some of these children that are trafficked are shipped in shipping containers, and there's people at the ports in different countries that know what's going on, and they, you know, they're in cooperation with the whole system. But these kids are trafficked, you know, all over the world. They operate without borders, and it seems that almost every single country in the world is involved in this. And the reason why every single country is involved in this is because the government is behind most of this. The CIA, the politicians, DynCorp, these companies are involved in the sex trafficking. They're involved in the drug trafficking. They're involved in the organ harvesting. They're running it. And that's how they're able to also operate without borders. And when you look at it at the lower level, when you just look at the politicians that are trafficking children and who are involved, to go back to Jeff Epstein's island, just so people can understand how a lot of this goes down, Jeffrey Epstein's island is basically a trap to set up world leaders, politicians, and powerful people around the world. So what Jeff Epstein has done on his island, with the backing of our government, by the way, is he has set up the island so there are private rooms throughout the island, and they're all tapped with video cameras, all right? And what he does is that he brings in, you know, like I said, powerful people from around the world, and he baits them with children, okay? Now, let's say that someone who's a powerful person goes to Jeff Epstein's island who isn't a pedophile. What the likes of Jeffrey Epstein and our, you know, the deep state operatives will do is they will drug people, and they will put them in positions where it looks like they are raping kids or they're having sex with a child. And what that's called is brownstoning. So what they do is they basically set up powerful people to make it look like they are engaged in having sex with children as a form to control them and to blackmail them. So unfortunately, we have probably a decent amount of people that are good people in government and politics that aren't pedophiles, but they have been set up, they have been framed to look like they're pedophiles, and there's, you know, video footage or there's photos of them in these compromising positions. Maybe they were drugged, but the person that would be viewing the photos would not necessarily know that. The deep state has files on almost every powerful person in the world, and that's how the globalists are able to control politicians. You know, there are so many times where politicians flip-flop, you know, they change their tune, and that's a lot of the times that's because they are answering to someone. that's blackmailing them. And, you know, they're answering to these elites that have brownstoned them. So I know within our government there have been a ton of people that have been compromised, and I believe that James Comey is one of them. Now, what he's been compromised with specifically, I don't know, you know, but a lot of people in government have been compromised, and a lot of those people are decent people, but they're afraid to come forward because it's, you know, they can't. So it's a really screwed up and sad situation.
Comey, according to the reports I received, and Lynch helped cover this up. I interviewed former senior VP John Cruz of HSBC, and I learned from him and was able to verify that Comey was on the board of directors at HSBC at the time that the money laundering between the cartels and their partners, the terrorists, such as Hamas, Hezbollah, and Muslim Brotherhood, were laundering money into HSBC. Some of this was child sex trafficking money. And Comey was at HSBC board of directors when this was being funneled into the Clinton Foundation, some of these payments. So that's where he's compromised. And Cruz went to Loretta Lynch, who was the Eastern Division DA in New York, and she'd hear none of it, despite the fact that he had so much evidence. He went to DHS, ran into the same stonewall. So this is what you said, you're not sure what Comey's involvement is. I'm pretty sure this is what it is.
So there
he's
you go.
Clinton,
I mean,
he's been a servant for 20 years, you know.
Yeah. And so he's more of an accomplice. I wouldn't even say that, you know, it sounds like he's an accomplice. I mean, he's definitely been compromised, but at the end of the day, if the Clintons go down, he goes down. Now, what could end up happening with him, which we're going to find out in the next few weeks, should be really interesting, is that what he could do, which I think this could be going on behind closed doors, this is just a theory, but he could be working out a deal with Trump and, you know, Sessions to get some kind of an immunity to help build a case against the Clintons. And I've heard from multiple sources that that's what Uma and Anthony Weiner have been in the process of doing, because apparently I should say this too for your listeners, that apparently, and I've heard this from multiple sources, and I mean, this has been floating around for months now, but apparently all the evidence of this sex trafficking, all the missing links, are on Anthony Weiner's computer. Apparently there's video footage of some of these characters actually raping children. And all the evidence is not only on Anthony Weiner's computer, but it was so graphic and so horrific that it made grown men at the NYPD cry. The noose is getting shorter around the necks of the Clintons and the people surrounding them. And, I mean, at the end of the day, the dominoes are going to have to start falling, and people who maybe aren't as guilty as the Clintons are going to have to make a decision. You know, do I want to continue to lie for the likes of Hillary Clinton, the likes of Bill Clinton, or do I want to, you know, tell the truth and turn over evidence and save my own ass? You know, and so it's going to be a really interesting few weeks, but I do believe we're at a turning point where there's so much, you know, evidence and information out there. It sounds like the NYPD and the FBI has enough evidence to prosecute the Clintons for many things, but especially sex trafficking. And I will point out, too, something I forgot to mention before, that Judicial Watch, and this, of course, has got no one paid attention to this in the mainstream media. No one really paid much attention to this at all. But the Judicial Watch has, they filed a lawsuit to get emails from the State Department, to get the State Department to release thousands and thousands of emails from Hillary Clinton's tenure there. And in one of the emails that were released recently, it talks about how they knew at the State Department that pedophiles were actively going to Haiti to adopt children. I mean, I post this on my Twitter page, but I'll post it again so your, you know, listeners can see with their own eyes. And you can go to Judicial Watch on your own. But a lot of the sex trafficking stuff does tie into the State Department. And so it should be an interesting few weeks, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Comey handles himself, and, you know, it should be very interesting, to say the least.
A few months ago, I had a State Department employee on named Monica Wesolowski, and she related on this show, she was works in computer graphics, and they do these information pamphlets. And when they do child sex trafficking, the people in the images always have to be white. They can use no people of color, and they can't display anything that would indicate it's in America. It always has to be in foreign countries. So talk about creating the image as the cover story. There you go.
Well, and you'll notice that in the mainstream media, too, if you do see a story about child sex trafficking in the mainstream media, for example, the other day, I think it was just yesterday, I believe it was the Associated Press did a story on child sex trafficking, but it was in the Philippines. It was this, you know, there was this bust in the Philippines. And
right.
You'll never see a story in the mainstream media about how, it, you know, Trump, and this is one of the stories, you know, before I was censored by Town Hall, the first story I wrote about child sex trafficking is how there's been an unprecedented number of child sex trafficking arrests since Trump's been sworn in. I mean, I think within the first 30 days, there was over 1,500 arrests made under Trump. And Trump has talked about this publicly. He's talked about it in interviews. He gave a press conference about sex trafficking and how he is going after pedophiles and people trafficking children. And he's had an unprecedented number of arrests since he's been sworn in. I mean, literally thousands and thousands of people. There was one case in California where almost 500 people were arrested for child sex trafficking within the past few months. Nobody covered it. Nobody covered it in the mainstream media. And so when you do see child sex trafficking stories in the mainstream media, you're right. It's they're covering child sex trafficking everywhere under the sun except the United States, because they don't want us to know that it's not only happening here, but it's rampant. It's rampant. And the fact that the President of the United States is talking about it, he's tweeting about it, he's going after these pedophiles, he's talking about interviews. He even talked in interviews. He did an interview on Fox News Channel 2 weeks ago where he said, I talk about this, but no one will talk about it. He even says no one will talk about it. And people need to ask themselves why. Why is the media not talking about it? Why aren't other politicians talking about it? Like, why are people like me who are talking about it, why are we getting censored? Why are we getting fired? Why are people's lives getting threatened? Well, obviously, there are some really big, powerful forces that doesn't want the public to know this is going on. And those big, powerful forces are government, it's the CIA, it's DynCorp, it's the entertainment industry. Look, I live in Hollywood. It's rampant in Hollywood, okay? And everyone in Hollywood knows it. And there are so many connections between the Hollywood pedophile circles, the, you know, DC pedophile circles. It's like a big, you know, club. But people really need to question, why aren't people talking about this? There's been thousands and thousands of people that have been arrested since Donald Trump's been elected president. Like, more so than, like, the past, like, 8 years, practically, with Obama. And nobody's talking about it. And you also will notice this big bust that just happened in the Philippines. It's no mistake that this bust happens a few days after Trump met with the president in the Philippines. Because there are some people out there that doubt that President Trump's really going after pedophiles in the sex trafficking industry. And I tell those people that are doubting it, well, look at his actions. Don't just listen to his words, but look at his actions. Look at the arrests. You know, come to my pages, and you'll find the truth. You'll find the numbers. You'll find the information on sex trafficking that nobody else will cover. Trump is definitely going after pedophiles. He's definitely trying to break up these, or he is breaking up these sex trafficking rings. But we do need to hold him accountable, because this is never going to end unless he cuts the head off at the top of the snake. And he has to go after the people like the Clintons. He has to go after the people at the top in all areas of business. because it will never end unless the people at the top, the Jeffrey Epsteins, the Clintons, the other, you know, members of Congress that are behind this, the people in Hollywood, the A-list actors, you know. I mean, I've heard, I have friends that work as journalists as well in the entertainment business. I have one friend that recently just told me how she was had a whole story on how an A-list actor has children kept in his mansion, in the basement, in cages. He brings in children from foreign countries. And she couldn't get the story published. And she had, you know, interviewed one of the victims. She had all this evidence. This is happening. It's real, and it's rampant. And people need to wake up to it, and people need to start talking about it, and people need to start spreading awareness, because, you know, if people don't start talking about it more and putting pressure on our government and, like, the good people in government and the good authorities out there to do something, and then it will continue to spread and to happen.
It's interesting you mentioned the president of the Philippines, Duterte. I wrote that in an article 3 days ago. So people who think we come on here and we randomly make up stuff, well, if we're making it up, we sure make it up together. And I'm not the only one reporting on this. And do you remember, too, how the Democrats came out, and I mean some of the ones who I suspect are involved in this, and they were saying, why would Trump meet with Duterte? He's got nothing to say to him. Duterte is a renegade president. He doesn't belong in Washington. They wanted to keep him apart because they knew what was coming.
Exactly.
They knew.
And I will say, too, you know, a lot of the never-Trump Republicans, you know, if you do some research on the people that were really against Trump, I believe this all goes back to the sex trafficking stuff. I believe the people that have been screaming the loudest against Trump's presidency have ties to sex trafficking, okay? Trump has been against the pedophile agenda. He's tweeted years ago about how there's a real problem with pedophilia and we needed to do something about these perverts who are grabbing kids off the street. All right. Trump has known about this problem with elite pedophiles for a really long time. And I think these elite pedophiles know that he's not only okay with it, but that he's going to do something about it. And that's why you have seen such resistance against him from some of these people, because they know that their days are limited with Trump as president, because he is going to go after all the scum that's involved in trafficking children. And I truly believe that the people on both sides of the table, whether it be Republicans and Democrats, that have been just frantically against him, well, that's why. They're guilty. They're guilty. And people need to, you know, they need to realize that. They need to wonder, why are they so against him? Like, what is it about Trump that they, why would a Republican support Hillary Clinton? Like, why would any Republican support Hillary Clinton? That makes no sense. You know, people need to dig deeper here and look at what the connections are. And if you, like, I mean, if you just look at the connections with the media, for example, do you know how many members of the media have donated to the Clinton Foundation or have ties to the Clinton Foundation? I mean, Comey's own family members have ties. You know, and so, I mean, even if it's on a small level.
Well, his brother does taxes for the Clinton Foundation.
Exactly.
Comey's brother does Clinton Foundation taxes.
So, you know, at the end of the day, when the dominoes start falling and it starts coming out that the Clintons were involved in sex trafficking through their foundation, there's going to be so many people that are going to be guilty by association, including the people that donated to the foundation or just were on the board or, you know, and I've done stories on this, and I can't tell you how many people in the mainstream media, you know, CNN, MSNBC, even Fox News Channel, were involved in the Clinton Foundation. All these people have blood on their hands. There's so many links. It's very ancestral, and it's frightening. But there are a lot of people involved in this, and it goes really deep, and it's really frightening. There's a lot of deep, powerful forces. You know, I mean, look at Dennis Hastert, for example. He's in jail for raping little boys. You know, and the Podesta brothers are still buddy buddy with him. You know, they still are in contact with them. We learned that through the Podesta emails, okay? So these elite pedophiles, they they stick together, and they're in both parties, the Republicans and Democrats, and they protect each other. And that is how they are able to operate and thrive, and that's how they've been able to operate and thrive for so many years. You know, when you have all the money in the world and you have the most powerful people in the world protecting you, and including the government, that's how this has been able to thrive. But with Trump in office, that's changing. And I really do hope and pray that he does continue his fight against, you know, these pedophiles and breaking up these sex trafficking rings. And I really hope that he doesn't just, you know, prosecute one sacrificial lamb. Because, you know, when you're looking at the safety of children, when you're looking at the fact that there are just countless children around the world being raped and tortured, you can't just have there be one sacrificial lamb, okay, that's thrown out there. You have to go after every single person involved. Because if we as a country, if we as human beings cannot protect our children, then we're nothing. We're nothing.
I would agree. I want to ask you a very sensitive question about Epstein's Island or other locations like where Scalia was murdered. It's rumored that at these places, not only do they abuse children in horrific ways, but they also engage in hunting parties, shoot-to-kill operations.
Yes.
Do you know anything about this?
Yes, they do, unfortunately. These people are sick, okay? These people are sick. And I need to say this because this is, look, I have a conscience. I'm a good person. And part of the reason why it's taken me so long to understand all of this is because I just can't believe that there's such evil out there, that there are such evil people out there that would do these things to the most innocent people, and that's children. And what people have to understand is that if you look at this topic and say, I can't believe this because, you know, this is something I would never do, then you're never going to accept reality. You have to understand that these people are not like you. These people do not have a conscience. The majority of them are psychopaths and sociopaths. They have no ability to have empathy for anything, okay? And not only that, they get off of torturing and raping children. Like, that literally gives them a high. And it gives them energy. It gives them power. It's like an addiction for them. And don't try to understand it, because good people will never, ever. I mean, I every day I'm still like, I can't believe this goes on. But the evidence is all there. But you'll never understand it, because good people could not even, I mean, they could never do this to children. But these aren't good people. These people are really sick. They're sociopaths and they're horrible people.
One more question, Liz, before we close. I'd like to just ask you one more question. You mentioned briefly, about organ trafficking. Let me tell you the rest of the story with the hunting parties. Or they engage in Hollywood snuff films. I mean, I've heard it goes both ways. And when they're done with these children and these children are terminated, that's when they take their organs. And some they sell on the open market, is what I've been told. And this comes from someone I know that was in the FBI. And some not only sell them for profit, but they also use them for the elite when they need organs.
Yes.
When they want transplants, they don't have to wait in line. Do you know anything about this?
Yes, I do. The government used to make its money in the black market through drug trafficking and arms deals. The most profitable business in the world is sex trafficking and selling organs. And that's why there's such a force out there trying to silence people like you and I. Let's see, if we're gonna sell this kid into sex slavery, and by the way, these kids, most of them don't live after they've been sold as sex slaves. They don't make it more than 2 years. So why don't we maximize on the amount of money that we can make from this child by A, selling them as a sex slave, and then B, after they die, selling their organs? Of course, it's like a double bonus for these sickos. I would like to tell your audience one more thing. Recently, there was a victim of sex trafficking that was on an episode of Dr. Phil. She talks about all of this.
Yes, I heard that.
You can find that episode on YouTube, at least snippets of it. But I encourage people to watch that episode because it covers human trafficking. It covers the hunting parties. It covers how these children are brought to these elite events like the Olympics and the Super Bowl and stuff. And it's a good place to start to understand what's going on with these elites and sex trafficking. And in that one episode, it covers all the really big bullet points that people need to understand the business.
Well, I think that at the end of the day, they'll all have their judgment in hell at the end of the day. But right now, we have a major problem in front of us, and we got just a couple minutes left. But I wanted to kind of tie this together real quickly because Joe Hagman and I had a discussion where we crossed into some of these areas ever so briefly. But I think what I'm seeing, Trump has lost control of his foreign policy and the military.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very much in charge domestically. And I think he's using this to unhinge the deep state so he can get total control of his administration. I think that, do you agree with me? That's his ultimate goal here. And this is the way to accomplish it.
Yes. And I've heard that from sources. And I do believe that Trump is going to start domestically with saving these children and breaking up the sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Sorry, we cut out just for a second.
Okay. And I also believe, and this is something else people need to look into as well. I also believe that he will work together with Putin to address this internationally. And Putin is against sex trafficking. Putin is very vocal.
Oh my God.
You know, this is never in the mainstream media. And this is one of the reasons why they hate Putin so much. No one ever talks about it. And actually, one of the columns I wrote for Town Hall is Trump, Russia, and sex trafficking, how it all ties together. Now, Putin talks in his speeches about pedophilia and sex trafficking and how it's a problem in the United States, okay? This is why the mainstream media hates Putin. This is why the globalists hate Putin. I firmly believe that Trump will start domestically, and then he's going to branch out internationally, and I do believe that he will work with Putin on this issue.
This is why they're pushing the Russian issue. It's
exactly.
Not the only reason, but is the major reason. Well, you just opened my eyes to this Putin connection on this. This is something I'm not aware of. And unfortunately, Liz, darn it, we're out of time. And I'm going to have you back. When you want to come back, I certainly want to have you back. You've been a very, very informative and well-spoken guest. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. Liz, you write for the Daily Caller, and everyone knows where that's at. You do great work, and I've been a fan of yours for a while, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, and I just want your listeners to know you can find me at Liz Crokin, LizCrokin, and I post about sex trafficking all day, every day.
Okay, that's great. Liz, thanks so much. We are out of here, everybody. We're out of time. We'll be back next week. Robert David Gates, Doug Hagman, and we will see you back here, same time, same place.